Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter. Today we will be studying Perek Kuf of Tehillim, Chapter 100. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a very special Karban offering that was brought. It was called the Karban Todah, a Thanksgiving offering. It was, in a sense, a survivor's Karban. It was brought by someone who was saved from a life-threatening situation, someone who was saved from illness or jail, a desert, or after crossing an ocean. But actually, the Karban Todah was not limited to those four circumstances. Rather, any time a person felt this overwhelming sense of gratitude and wanted to express it, the Karban Todah was the way to do it. Karban Todah is unique. It is the only individual's Karban Yachid, that contained chametz. And although similar to the other Karbanos Shlamim, it had a unique requirement of needing to be eaten in one day and one night. And it was accompanied by 40 loaves of bread made from four types. Chapter 100, the last of the 11 chapters that Medrash says were written by Moshe Rabbeinu the day he died. Rashi explains in Siddur Rashi that Moshe wrote this one to accompany the Karban Todah, the Thanksgiving sacrifice. And after the first introductory pasuk, verse, there are four verses, one for each of the types of loaves that accompanied this special offering. In fact, Edot Mizrach say Mizmar Lesoda as a culmination of all the Karbanos on the morning, since it is, in a sense, the greatest Karban. And we do not recite this chapter on days that the Karban Todah would not have been brought, namely Erev Pesach, Erev Yom Kippur, Shabbos, and Yom Tov. Like all Karbanot Yachid individual offerings, the Karban Todah would not have been brought on Shabbos or holidays. And since it needed to be eaten within a night and a day, Erev Yom Kippur would not work. And of course, Erev Pesach is not a day for chametz. Although Edot Mizrach do recite Mizmar Lesoda as one of the six for Kabbalah Shabbos, Edot Ashkenaz do not, again for this reason. So this chapter begins with the words Mizmar Lesoda, a song of thanksgiving. So what is Todah? The root word, Rav Hirsch tells us, is the same in Todah and Vidoy, thanks and admission. And the Medrash Tehillim discuss Vidoy when explaining this chapter. But these two words feel very different. But in a sense, they are the same. Rav Hirsch teaches us that we would like to begin each day, each moment, each conversation as if it were brand new, as if we don't have any past. And that is indeed one of the greatest gifts that, in a sense, it is true that each new day is a new opportunity to begin again. But it also must be understood that yesterday did happen. When we turn to Hashem, we must be reminded of all the moments of kindness, of compassion, of salvation, of love and giving that Hashem has bestowed on us since the beginning of time. How we got to this moment, yesterday and all the yesterdays happened, that is the meaning of the word Todah. And Vidoy is the other part of this context of time. It means, and I have not always measured up. I have made mistakes, fallen short. Yesterday happened, and I need to at least acknowledge that it did. And this moment, this putting today in the context of a lifetime, of a nation's lifetime. In other words, we never forget the journey we took to get to where we are today. We can now understand how Chazal tell us that there will come a time when there will no longer be a need for Karbanot Chatas, sin offerings, but there will always be Karban Todah, thanksgiving offerings. and that there will come a time when all prayers will be canceled, but Hoda'ah, thanks, will never be. There will come a time, and we hope it will be so soon, that we will stop making mistakes, stop falling short, and stop experiencing pain. But even when we reach that time, we will still be living in a today in the context of yesterday. Our journey will still be relevant, and therefore, Karban Todah and the gratitude section of our prayers will always be. So, verse 1, Mizmor Lesoda Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz, a mizmor of thanksgiving, everyone on earth sing out to Hashem. Which brings us to the second verse, Ivduas Hashem Bisimcha, Bo Lifanav Birnana, serve Hashem with joy, come before him with joyous singing, serve Hashem with joy. Why joy? Because we understand this relationship, this context. In a relationship of love, there must always be joy. Radak reminds us that service without joy is the opposite of what Hashem wants for us. It feels burdensome and heavy. Hashem wants us to recognize the gift and privilege of being his nation and to literally rejoice in the service. The Maharal adds that sadness comes from a feeling of loss, of incompleteness, of something or someone that is missing, that we are missing. So what is joy? That is the opposite. That is the feeling of shlemus, of completeness, wholeness. What the mitzvot do is uplift us, build us, and turn us into people who are more complete, more shalem, more at peace. And so, engaging in the service of God, of course it is correct for this to be done with joy. And verse 3, Du'u ki Hashem hu Elokim, hu asanu v'lo anachnu amo v'tzon mariso. Know that Hashem, he is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people and the flock of his pasture. So what is this relationship? Firstly, Hashem is Elokim. The name Hashem represents the attribute of compassion and Elokim the attribute of judgment. Yes, sometimes there is din, there is justice, there may even be punishment, but the same God who exercises din is also Hashem, the loving, compassionate, and merciful God. And the Malbim explains that in the second half of the verse, there are four relationships described. Hashem is Osenu. He made us. He gave us life. V'lo anachnu. And we, in a sense, belong to him. Amo. We are his nation. We serve him. V'tzon mar iso, and he takes care of us as a shepherd. There is a kriuk siv in this verse. Hu asanu v'lo anachnu is actually written v'lo with an aleph. And in the ksiv, it would be translated, he made us and not us. Because part of being blind to the context of history, the mistake that people sometimes make is that we made ourselves. The truth is, no one made themselves. And the success that we can experience, the talents that we have perhaps cultivated, the people that we have in our lives who supported us and made us thrive, all of these are God-given gifts. So when we gaze with joy and satisfaction at our lives, we stop and say, how did we get here? Hashem brought us to this point. We did not make ourselves. The Maharal actually uses this idea to explain why this offering is the exception and includes chametz. Chametz always represents ego, represents the pursuit of selfish desires and needs, and the Beis HaMikdash was a place where ego was not welcome. It's not about my selfish needs, it's about serving Hashem. But what gratitude and context allow us to do is to take self, take ego, and sublimate it by recognizing that all we have has actually been given to me as a gift, and also that it must be used in the service of God. And so, verse 4, Bo sha'arav b'sodach ha'tzerusav b'shila, hodu lo barchu shemo. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courtyards with praise. Thank him, bless his name. This verse speaks of sha'arim, gates, and chatzer, courtyards. We reach the gates first, and then enter the courtyard. Malbim explains this is the difference between a human ruler and Hashem. When dealing with a human ruler, we praise first as we figuratively enter the gates. And after making our requests, we would then thank. But with Hashem, it is different. We thank Hashem here immediately upon entering the gates. So sure are we that Hashem is able to provide us with our needs. And then, the closer we get to Hashem, the more we praise. Usually, the closer we get to a human ruler, the more we relate to them. Actually, the more regular and pedestrian and mundane we understand them to be. But with Hashem, the closer we get to him, the more we find the need to praise him. Rav Hirsch, too, notes the order. We approach his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyard with praise. Again, going back to the context of our relationship with Hashem, we must first thank and then praise, because for us, it is personal and it always must be. Like a prince, although of course he knows his father is a powerful king, to him, he should first be father. So yes, over the millennium, we have learned a lot about Hashem's kindness, his power, his forgiveness, and his love. And we could praise Hashem so much for that. But how did we learn that? Through his salvation of us, his love for us, his forgiveness of us. And to neglect to mention that, to approach God with praise and not thanks, would be a terrible omission. And verse 5, Ki tov Hashem la'olam chasto va'ador vador emunaso. For Hashem is good, his kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness extends to every generation. What is unique about the kindness of God is that it is la'olam. The kindness that Hashem does can never be taken away. It is le'olam, eternal, and Hashem's faithfulness to us is generational. And so, let us heed the call of Tehillim. Let us, too, take a look at our personal lives, our personal stories, and to recognize all that Hashem has done to bring us to this moment in time. Let us rejoice that He has chosen us to sing. And let us use this beautiful song to be our Karban Todah, our Thanksgiving offering for all the good in our lives. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmas, Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bat Chaim Leib.